1916 on our virtual tour is, of course, a very ominous year, the year of the Somme, the year of the rising. And we find ourselves in heart and mind in Bagnallstown, Muinnefjog, a town that's in many ways beautifully planned by the river, Dunleckney Church, where I preached my first sermon, I think, in the diocese as a divinity student many years ago, and also the glorious railway station. And that railway station reminds me of another peregrination, the time on Good Friday when we did the stations in the stations and ended up on the platform there as darkness fell that Good Friday evening. It was a memorable journey, another memorable journey. Little did I know then how we would be looking for imaginative ways to make spiritual journeys in the context of not being able to use our normal church buildings. So as I look back to that particular endeavor, I also wonder what it's going to be like at Christmas. Even if we're back in church, it'll probably be somewhat limited, and we've got to again enter into that spirit of imagination and creativity as to how we travel in heart and mind to Bethlehem and how we encourage others to share that journey with us in a Christmas that'll certainly look different. 1916, though. After the rising, which had not been terribly popular in the public mind, it was, of course, the executions, and they began on the 3rd of May, which famously began to change public opinion, and that led to the dramatic general election of 1918 and the Sinn Féin landslide. A prophetic voice against the executions was Redmond, the Irish Parliamentary Party leading figure who was still in Westminster. His own political day and indeed his life was almost done, but he was shrewd enough to assert in the House of Commons that the executions were alienating many who, as he put it, have not the slightest of sympathy with the insurrection. One of the things that disturbs me is the public support given by one of my own predecessors as Bishop of Ossory, John Henry Bernard, to the executions, going so far as to support them in a newspaper letter. Yet this was a genuinely Irenic scholar whose commentary on the Greek text of the fourth gospel remains very much worth using. One of the great and often unsung achievements of the European Union, unlike the land of the free, is getting rid of capital punishment, including in any aspiring member states. This was a debate some time ago in Turkey. One could not imagine a European Anglican bishop now taking Bernard's line. It would be close on inconceivable. The 1916 executions, albeit in a war atmosphere, were hasty, cruel and unwise. Ironically, however, if there'd been no capital punishment in 1916, the cause might not have had the subsequent impact or appeal that it did. The need, indeed the thirst for blood sacrifice in the pursuit of political goals is very dangerous and very problematical in the narrative of Irish history. And what was even more problematical for those who think spiritually and theologically was how the 1916 leaders saw, very much in their writings, their impending blood sacrifice as somehow capable of being aligned with the sacrificial death of Christ himself. Which leads me to, I hope not a heretical question, and a rather different but related one. I've often agonized over whether Christ himself absolutely was required to die by execution to bring about our salvation? Or was that, on the other hand, an inevitable consequence of how the authorities of his day responded to his message? I was never more floored than I once was by a clever confirmation candidate who asked me when I thought I was about to engage in a simple chat, but like many young teenagers, he showed he knew more theology than any of us. He said, could Jesus have saved the world if he had entered our history in a country where there was no capital punishment? Well, there's one for reflection.